Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Debo. What's up, Steven?
What's going on, brother?
And I think this is like, what, our fourth or fifth episode together now?
I think so. We're rocking and rolling. Season's about to start up. Look forward to doing some more, man. Kind of on a, I guess, a more regular basis because here we are, week one, tomorrow.
I know, man. It's like the offseason's been great and stuff, but it seems like it has been forever since we've watched an actual football game that is actually worth something.
I know. So much has happened this offseason, man, just through the whole NFL. It's kind of funny if you just think back right at the end of the season, all the moves that have happened between the very end of the Super Bowl and right now, man, it's a different NFL this year.
It is. Like, who would have thought that you'd be able to sell Evan Ingram for 2 seconds in the
that's exactly right. I mean, who would have thought that? Here we are. Yep. You know. So,
by the way, for listeners, that move literally happened today. So I don't want to hear it. So, Steven, man, with that being said, you ready for week one?
Man, I'm ready. I'm excited. Kind of getting back in the swing. I know in one of our last episodes, we just kind of talked about how it was just the lull of the off season and how we'd both taken a little bit of time away. But, man, I'm kicked into gear. I got my lineup set. Man, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, same, man. I'm looking forward to it. The follow-up question to that, Steven, how many leagues are you currently in? And out of those leagues, Dynasty leagues in particular, how many are you win now and how many of them are you trying to rebuild?
Well, I'm in 11 dynasties. I am in 4 redrafts as well, but we're talking about dynasty here. Just on the dynasty side, I think I'm a contender in 9. I'm a pretender in 1, and I'm 1 rebuild. So one of the leagues, I think I'm just a pretender, man. It's not I want to be good. I want to be good, but I know I'm not. And it's an orphan that I took over this offseason. And I was actually talking to somebody about it today, and I said, man, I said, I don't want to be this way because I did take it over as an orphan. But, you know, sometimes you just feel like, you know, those can be one and done for you. You know, you've done that league a favor by taking it over for at least a year, you know. So I kind of told somebody today, I said, I'm either fixing to make some moves and be a contender I can burn it to the ground and try to rebuild it. But if nobody's willing to do that with me, I'm not just going to stick around and be a pretender. So, you know, I'm willing to put the work in to try to do one of two of those things, but you know, it doesn't always work out like that. So,
yeah, I get that. And I'm in 10 total leagues with 8 of them being dynasty. And out of those 8 dynasty leagues, I'm rebuilding in 1. That's the Devy league that I'm in with you in there. And then I'm a pretender in 1. That's the orphan I took over that you're the commissioner of. I know there is no chance of me making it to the playoffs, and there's also no chance of me getting the 101. And so with it, I'm just trying to kind of sit pretty, ride it out for a year or so, get those picks, and then keep going.
Yeah.
More like a reload. And then the rest of them, I guess I'm win now in. One of them is a rebuild that is now competing. There's nothing more satisfying than that. I'll tell you that.
Yes. And, for sure.
Yeah. So it's interesting though, man. I'm realizing a lot more often now that I'm leaning towards the super flex leagues. I hate it, but I love it at the same time. And then, also realizing that I prefer dynasty a lot more than redraft because I ain't got time for those redraft waivers, man.
You're growing up right before my eyes, man. I don't even know what to say.
I know, dude. You know, I guess we mature at some point. But with that being said, man, we just want to come to you guys and just give y'all a short little episode tonight as we're getting ready to kick off week one with the first game. We're recording this on Wednesday night. The first game is tomorrow night with Bills and Rams. I will say this before we get started, Steven. I am way more pumped at the first game this year than I have been of any other first game in a season.
Yeah, man. It's exciting. Bills and Rams. I mean, I view Josh Allen as the best quarterback in the league. I don't know where you are on it, but man, and to have that going up against the defending Super Bowl champions, I don't know what else you want, you know, do you want week one, first
for
game.
Sure.
So.
And I know it's going to have a lot of fantasy implications. And so with that being said, as the season kicks off underway, Steven, what I thought it would be cool, man, is let's do a segment called Call Your Shot. Basically, what this is what we're going to be doing is talking about three players in particular that are our favorite dynasty assets for this season. We'll talk about each player and what makes us bought in on them from this moment on, with a key emphasis on this season in dynasty. So I'm going to go ahead and get this thing started, man. One player that I have found myself in on, and I think I own him in like 80, 90% of leagues right now, is my boy Rashad Bateman. Now, before you say that I bought into the Twitter hype and all that kind of stuff, man, I was in on Rashad Bateman last year. I remember in one particular rookie draft with our fellow member Kelby, I actually traded away A.J. Dillon and Tevin Coleman to get Rashad Bateman in the second round. And just with Rashad Bateman, I feel like he was an alpha amongst slot wide receivers last year. I feel like him and Ja'Marr Chase were about the only two big, massive wide receivers whenever everybody else was the smaller frame, quick wide receivers. For me, the reason I'm in on Bateman, though, is because we've got a new wide receiver one in Baltimore, and I think Rashad Bateman is about to feast, man. You've got Hollywood Brown out, and with Hollywood Brown as a wide receiver two last year finishing out, now the sophomore Bateman is 6'1", is about to take on the majority of targets that Hollywood left behind. For me, there's multiple reasons why I'm in on Bateman. I think his athletic profile is one that he can come in, take charge. I do think he'll be second in targets behind Mark Andrews, obviously. But with that being said, man, I'm all in on Lamar as well. I think Lamar takes a bump up in passing. I know that he is told Baltimore that they have until Friday to give him a contract extension. And if they don't, then I guess he's going to play this season and kind of figure it out later on. But with Lamar, I think he's going to ball out this year. I think he's going to come back healthy. And in doing so, I know with J.K. Dobbins possibly being out for a couple of weeks, I think that passing games will come out strong. They face off against the New York Jets week one with Joe Flacco starting on the other end. And so I imagine that Lamar's going to come out there just slinging the ball. And actually, Bateman's going to be the one that's going to be using his size, getting open and taking a step up as a receiver. And so for me, I'm glad that I bought in this offseason. I'm glad I bought in his rookie year, because now I've seen some rankings where he's all the way up to top 20. And so I'm happy about that return.
Man, I like Bateman too. And man, you said it all right there. I think, you know, Lamar, he gets the knock on the passing, right? But it's because his legs are so good. And everybody's like, well, can he throw though? Can he throw? And I think he's shown enough at this point to say, yeah, he can throw it. Now, you know, he's still got to do it, and I still think he's got to take another step forward.
Absolutely,
with passing the ball. But man, I think Bateman can like you. I think you're right. I think Bateman can help him take that step forward. So,
absolutely. Who's your first shot? You're calling, man.
All right, my first shot here, and it's not just like a wow, but it is a guy that I've kind of been on, and I know you're in on too. We've actually talked about it. But my guy's T. Higgins.
Nice.
You know, he's being ADP wide receiver 9 on DLF. So I know that's a wide receiver 1, but I'll be honest with you. I think the guy is a flat out stud. Like I view him as higher than that. And I know that's like, man, how do you get much higher than that? I really do. If you look at his numbers and the things that he's done, he posted at least 96 yards in 8 of the last 13 games last year. The target share percentage is what I look at when we talk about fantasy. Mm-hmm. Chase, which we all know is great. I'm not denying Chase is great. But Chase had a 24% target share, and Higgins had 23%. I mean, he's right behind him. Like, and everybody sees Chase and the big explosive plays he makes and the long touchdowns, and I get it. He's, you know, he was great. I get it. He was great this past year. But, man, I'm in on Higgins this year and moving forward. I love the guy. 6 touchdowns in his last 10 games. He's shown the ability to win in all areas of the field, not just the deep ball, not mm-hmm. just the out route, not just the slant. It's everywhere. He can do everything on the field. And, man, I'm looking for a breakthrough season. If I'm being completely honest, I think there's a world, and it's a higher percent chance than I think a lot of people want to talk about. There's a world where where this time next year we're saying Higgins is better than Chase.
Mm.
So that's where I'm at on it.
Hey, man, I'm absolutely 100% in with you. I know they probably get tired of hearing us agree all the time. But, dude, T. Higgins, I've got him as a top 5 dynasty wide receiver. And I may be bullish on that, but my thing about it is, man, is that he is right up there with Chase with me. I'll be honest with you, I would not be surprised if he does outproduce Chase this year and actually comes in with more PPR points than Chase does at the end of the year.
And, completely agree.
And that's the thing, man. Chase is going to have them home run balls, but I think T. Higgins has just enough upside as Chase does. You look at, what was it, week 13 or 14, where T. Higgins just dominated, had like 30, 40 points in one game PPR-wise. Yeah. And so he's got that potential. And with Joe Burrow throwing him the ball, man, I think he's locked in as a top-tier dynasty wide receiver.
I agree.
All right, so moving on to my second calling my shot. I'm just now starting to realize that every one of these is like a Twitter darling right now. Twitter has not influenced me. I will 100% say that. So my shot at the running back position, or my next person, is Ramondre Stevenson. Now, before you go ahead and throw it out there, you know, he's an RB2 on a New England Patriot offense under Belichick and all this kind of stuff. I get all that. But for me personally, man, I think Ramondre deserves to be in the same category as Tony Pollard, A.J. Dillon, and Alexander Mattison as handcuffs to own. For me, with James White retiring, I think Ramondre has the potential to add some targets to his game this season, as well as splitting time with Damian Harris with the ones. I will say this, too. It's also noteworthy to say that Damian Harris, after this season, will be an unrestricted free agent. Now, if you know anything about the Patriots and stuff, they're not afraid to let their running backs walk. And so for me, I'm not buying in like the whole A.J. Dillon when Aaron Jones could walk and all that kind of stuff. That's not where I'm at with Ramondre. I think even if Harris stays, I still think that Stevenson's going to have some sort of place in this offense. They're obviously going to run the ball. I don't think that they're going to let Mac Jones air it out every single play, because if we're honest, even as an Alabama fan, I still think Mac Jones is a game manager. And so with that being said, I think that there's a chance that Stevenson could be the RB1 for the Patriots next season. I think he'll produce this year in fantasy. I think he's a good stash on your team as like an RB3, RB4 on your squad. I honestly think that he's going to return his ADP of 110 right now on Sleeper, being drafted in a dynasty league around Isaiah Spiller, who's the RB3 right in San Diego, James Robinson, who may be an RB1, maybe an RB2, who knows, but everybody is almost for sure that ETN is going to be the back to own in Jacksonville, and Rashad White behind Leonard Fournette. And so if you're telling me that I can get somebody that can produce some numbers now that I don't have to wait 3-4 years in advance for, or a declining James Robinson, then I'm going in on Stevenson this year.
Man, you talk about our listeners agreeing them being tired of us agreeing. I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and change that narrative just a little bit here.
Do it.
Because I've always, for the past few years here, like, I can't trust any Patriot running back. I just can't trust it. They roll out this guy, they roll out that guy, then they got James White catching passes in the past, you know, and then they got this guy, and then they got that guy. So it's just scary to try to say, you know, Stevenson could be that lead bell cow back. Now, could he? Yeah. Will they let Damian Harris walk? I think it's a high possibility they do. So, yeah, the door is wide open for him. But, man, just knowing the Patriots that we've kind of seen over the past few years, they're always going to bring another guy in. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I like it. But at the same time, I'd be really skeptical about them, giving that bell cow work. But I do agree at his ADP. I think you gotta take a shot, right? So, I'll agree with you on that. So
awesome.
On my end, you kinda prefaced it a little bit and kinda set me up here, and I'm just supposed to knock it off the tee. My guy here is Travis Etienne. Dynasty League Football DLF Superflex ADP, RB13. Main competition being, like you said, James Robinson. Aging, man, he's great. He's been great. But, man, who knows? Coming off the Achilles, they say it's awful on running backs, you know. And I hope Akers is good, you know, coming off of that. I hope J-Rob can still be good. But, again, you just said it. I think everybody and a lot of people are thinking, you know, ETN is going to be that guy. I've kind of been on him since last year. Even when he got hurt, I was like, man, you better scoop this guy up because mm-hmm. – You know, he could be – he definitely – I see the writing on the wall of him being the guy, you know, whether it's catching passes or rushing the ball, you know, in training camp this year. It was reported that he was making super explosive plays, both catching and rushing. They also said his blocking was marginally better this year at this time than it was, you know, before his injury last year. So he's taken huge steps forward, I think. And here's the thing about him. I'm not saying that he's going to be like the best running back in fantasy in 2022, but I'm not saying he's not. So, you know, I mean, if you just think about it, the offense, what they're doing, quarterback, you know, man, he's got opportunity. He's got an opportunity to really explode and make some plays. So just all things considered, I think that you should keep it. I think that should keep him on the field, and I'm all in on him, you know, this year and moving forward, as we've talked about what this segment's about.
Absolutely, man. For me, ETN is one of those guys where you should have bought him in the offseason. You should have bought him at the end of the season last year. I know I saw him go in a couple leagues super duper cheap, man. But once the hype started getting there, he's on up there top 10 for me now. Yep. I think, honestly, this may be a weird comparison. I'm a Javonte lover, and I've got him, ETN, around the same category as I had Javonte last year. Breakout looming in a better offense with an aging running back that's RBBC. And so you know it's coming, and just might as well go ahead and along for the ride now. So my next call my shot is somebody that I acquired in a couple of tight end premium leagues last year, and I am so glad that I did. One in particular, I think I actually traded Austin Hooper for this guy, and I could not be more ecstatic about that. And so this year, who I'm all in on is Cole Kmet. Now I know that Chicago Bears defense or offense ain't something to just look forward to. But I think with Matt Nagy being out of there, man, I think Justin Fields takes that step up, and I'll be completely honest with you. I think that Cole Kmet kind of takes that step with him. And so the tight end 21 last season has now earned that solid role in the Chicago offense, with his only competition of targets literally being Darnell Mooney. I think that Kmet can feast in his third season. For me, if I went tight end late in redraft, or I bought him as a cheap option in a tight end premium league, I'm literally targeting Kmet with his potential of a breakout coming. I know that in a lot of dynasty rankings I've been looking at right now, he's already moved up to the tier right around tight end one, tight end two. And so for me, I had somebody actually message me on GroupMe a couple of nights ago in a tight end premium league. He was like, "Hey, man, can I get Kmet off of you?" And I'm like, "Dude, it's going to be a lot to get him off of me, but you can try." And so for me, it's somebody that I'm buying in on. It's somebody that I'm willing to take a shot on. I mean, if all you got is Darnell Mooney and competing targets, then I think it's kind of the go-ahead and call your shot on it now.
Yeah, man, I like Kmet too. Our buddy that's in Yellowstone with us, Tyler Leffelman, he's a huge Bears fan. He lives up in Chicago, and he was sad to see Nagy go, you know, but I'm kidding. I think everybody was throwing parades in the streets. No, but he's told me, man, that he loves Kmet. He loves the guy. Now, again, saying what you said, the offense, who knows, man, it is the Chicago Bears offense. Everybody's hoping that Justin Fields takes that next step. Everybody's hoping that, you know, Cole Kmet takes that next step. Everybody's hoping that Darnell Mooney takes that next step. So that's a lot of next steps, right? I mean, yep. you're talking about players that have to take the next step, and they all have to do it together and simultaneously, and new offense and new coaching. So, man, who knows, you know, but, you know, I think people are hopeful on Kmet. And I do think, you know, like you said, he's right around that tier of, you know, he's fringing on that tight end one in dynasty. So, you know, is it worth to take a shot on him right now? I think it is. I think he's worth a shot right now. And I can see why people are getting high, you know, raising the price on him and being higher on him. So I'm in on Kmet with you just a little bit there. My guy here, he's going to be a little bit higher on this list than Kmet. And maybe, like, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are like, "Oh man, what about, I mean, everybody knows he's going to be good." Yeah. I mean, I get that, but do you though? Like, I mean, so this is the guy I'm going with. And I think I'm just saying he's going to be even better than a lot of people are even maybe projecting. But my guy's Dalton Schultz here. Nice. Tight end seven, ADP tight end seven. Last year he was fifth in PPR as a tight end. He was the fifth ranked PPR tight end. He was behind Kelsey, Andrews, Kittle, and some guy named Gronk that's retired now. I'm not real sure. I know that burns a little bit. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to bring that. Open that old wound. But Schultz was targeted last year 101 times. 101 targets for Schultz. Now, we all know Amari Cooper just left. You know how many targets he left on the table? 104 targets on the table. He's going to eat up some of those targets. Now, I get CD's the guy. I mean, I get this is, you know, make or break year for CD. If he don't do it this year, he's never going to do it. I get all that.
Yep.
But, man, Schultz is going to eat up some of those targets. So you're talking about maybe he might, what if he, let's just say he takes 20 of them, you know, and he gets his same volume that he had last year. I mean, we're talking about 125 targets. Mm-hmm. So man, there's a ton of targets out there on, for grabs, 8 touchdowns last year. And just to be honest, to bring CD back into it, what's CD going to see? A ton of double coverage, I think. I mean, cause you know, right now, Michael Gallup's probably not ready. Obviously, like we just said, they lost Amari Cooper. So, you know, CD is very likely to see some double coverage. And I think Schultz can definitely, you know, feed off of that. Also, man, Cowboys franchise tagging him, he's got to have some extra motivation in him to try to get that contract, right? To try to get that big contract. So even more so for him to play better and be a better player. And I saw this too. Dak was quoted saying in July that he is a guy I can count on, a guy I can trust, and that has just continued to grow. Mm-hmm. And, man, that to me sounds like a person that Dak is going to really just rely on, rely on, rely on, even more so this year than he has in the past. And I know Schultz has been good over the past couple of years, but, man, I could see even maybe another step. Now, you know, we talk about, you know, guys that you're in on this year. I love the guy this year. Now, I know there's some contract situations, like he's tagged this year. Who knows what next year holds? But I'll say this about it. I'll say I love, love, love him this year, and I really like him moving forward. Now, if he stays with Dallas and Dak, man, through the roof, right? So, you know, there is a little bit of uncertainty there as far as, you know, future and where he's going, but I still think he's a great player. So, you know, love him this year, like him for the future.
Absolutely. And I've got him actually, man, in my own personal rankings, in Dynasty, I've probably got him up there with Waller.
He's up there, right, man.
Man, for me, you can't argue about the targets. Cause I mean, obviously that's a given. And like what you said, CD is a big play guy. He's a PPR guy. But my thing is, I think that Schultz is going to end up being Dak's security blanket. I think that whenever Dak's under pressure, which he's going to be a pretty good bit, I think Dak's just going to end up dumping it off to Schultz. And I think Schultz is going to end up feasting this year, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So just for some honorable mentions, players that we ain't going to get too much into, I'm just going to list a couple of mine. I know, like I said, I was in on Lamar this year. Another player that I'm kind of in on as far as their dynasty ADP is Justin Fields. I've seen Fields in some rankings as low as like quarterback 15. And I think he takes that bump up. I think in Dynasty, it's a good chance to go ahead and acquire him. Another player that I'm high on and somebody I can't get enough of, and I freaking hate it, man, is Brandon Ayuk. I know Debo's there. I know Trey Lance is there and stuff. But my thing is, man, is I've seen Ayuk play. I saw what he did his rookie year. Last year, he started in the doghouse. He ended up having a pretty good end of season. And then this year, he was praised during the preseason, although Debo wasn't there. And so I think with having a new quarterback coming in, Trey Lance, I do think that Brandon Ayuk is going to be he's built some chemistry with him, and I think he'll actually be a pretty decent wide receiver. I don't know, man, 4 for your team, 3-4, something like that. you know, not great, but just think he increases in value. Somebody else that I'm high on, man, Treylon Burks. I think that the same people that were talking last year about Ja'Marr Chase dropping balls is the same people talking about Treylon Burks and his asthma. And so for me, I'm all in on Treylon, somebody that was my wide receiver one coming into the rookie draft, even with going to Tennessee with a running offense, I'm still in on Treylon. And my last player that I'm going to call my shot on is Irv Smith. This may be the Alabama fan coming out in me, but with the Minnesota Vikings offense that is turning its attention towards the pass, I think that Irv Smith is going to be right on up there with Adam Thielen in targets. And as long as the man can stay healthy, I think he's going to be right on up there as a fringe tight end, high end tight end too. So we'll see what happens there.
Man, I'm hopeful for Smith. I've liked the guy for 2-3 years now, and I've owned him in a few of these leagues where it's two tight end, and it's just kind of been a waiting game, right? Especially in Dynasty, you know. But man, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm with you on that. I'm hopeful for it. It's funny you was talking about Treylon. Me and another guy was having that exact conversation, and he actually brought up that same point you just made. He said, you know, do you think these people that are down on Treylon are the same people that talked about Chase? You know, could Treylon have a breakout year similar to what Chase did? Now, that's asking a lot, right? But could it happen? You know, I think it's possible it could. You know, who knows what Robert Woods is going to bring to the table after the injury that he had. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, I think Tannehill will feed him the ball, you know, early on, but who knows, man? Treylon may break out, you know, week 3, week 4, week 5, you know, he may come along, he may come on strong. I really like him. I'm kind of in that same camp with you. Some of my honorable mentions here, and I'm not, I don't have, like you said, not too much detail here. And this one hurts me, man, because I've kind of been a hater on this guy for a little while now. But man, just looking at him and kind of reading some stuff, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, let's go. So I named my firstborn son after Steven.
Man, I think, you know, he added AJ Brown. He's got Devontae Smith. He's got Dallas Goedert. He's got Miles Sanders in the backfield, who I think is a very, very, very underrated back.
Absolutely.
Fantasy wise and just in the football, in the NFL. I think he deserves more work. I think he needs more work. But on it, obviously, when you have a running quarterback, the running back's going to suffer a little bit. but Jalen Hurts, man, I'm in on him a little bit. Saquon Barkley, man.
Oh, come on, Steven. Preach, man.
It's hurting me, man. But at this point in his career and at his ADP where it's at,
yep,
you better swing for it. He can go. He can jump all the way up that board into the top three or four,
yep,
or two, you know, or one. I mean, who knows? So each year is different. But, man, we know the talent. We saw the talent. We saw the talent on film coming out of college. We saw what he did year one. We know it's there. He's just got to put it all together. New coaching staff, you know, DeBall over there now. I got some high hopes for him. Jerry Jeudy, got your boy Tua throwing to Jerry Jeudy. And I know everybody is on Cortland Sutton this, Cortland Sutton that. Cortland Sutton should feast, and they're kind of leaving Jerry Jeudy in the background. I like Jerry Jeudy more than I do Cortland Sutton.
Absolutely.
That's just me. And I know Cortland Sutton is going ahead of Jeudy in drafts and being ranked ahead of him, but I like Jeudy more. So I'm in on Jeudy. And then my boy Dawson Knox out in Buffalo, you know, you got Josh Allen. He actually today, right, signed a brand new deal, 4-year, 50 some odd million. So, you know, he's locked up with Josh Allen for 4 more years. Man, touchdown guy. He's going to catch him. And I think he's just going to continue to grow chemistry with Josh Allen. And I think he's a guy we could see shooting up that tight end board this year as well. So those are some of my honorable mentions there.
Hey, man, I love it. I'm right on you with every single one of them, man. And so, like, you got to think about with Jerry Jeudy and that specific one that you mentioned, with Russell Wilson coming in, and I think that offense takes a massive leap. I mean, you're going from Drew Lock or whoever it was last year. I think it was Drew Lock.
Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, to Russell Wilson. I mean, come on, man. You can't help but love the route runner that Jerry Jeudy is.
Yes.
And so I think he's going to come out, like what we talked about a couple episodes ago, man, you had him as somebody that could possibly sneak in that top 10 in Dynasty last year. And right now, in a lot of rankings, I've seen him as low 30s, man. And so it's somebody to be targeting right now.
You should be.
And so that's our shots. And I'm sure that there's going to be a couple of those that we're wrong on, and that is perfectly fine. But that's people in Dynasty that we're buying into, people that we have actually acquired a couple of shares of, and people that we're calling our shots on early. And so now as week one approaches, Steven, let's do our final category here called Sneaky Flex Play. When I was thinking about this week, man, I was thinking about flex players that just kind of seem like they're off the grid. You know, players that are often overlooked, players that have a great matchup, or somebody that you're throwing in your flex that may just be someone that, you know, nobody else has really thought of. So I know his games start tomorrow night. Let's just give the listeners one sneaky flex play that'll surprise people with their performance in week one. And I'll let you go first here, okay?
All right, man. Well, I'm fixing to ruin this segment already. So look, okay. So first off, let me say this. In our show notes, I thought it said strong flex play and not sneaky flex play.
Hey, that's
so,
okay. Go with it.
There's that. And then on top of that, I think a lot of people may have this guy higher than a flex. Maybe like wide receiver 3 right now. So he's right there. As far as rankings go, as far as week one rankings go, you know, back end wide receiver 3, you know, slash maybe flex. But just his situation and where he's at, and who's throwing to him. I think in a lot of people's minds bring him a tier down right now. So maybe not even starting him. I could be wrong. There could be a ton of people in on him and starting him this week. But I say all that to say this, my guy here is Amari Cooper. And look, he's with the Browns. I get it. And I get some people are probably higher than even me on him. But, you know, I've got him, man, you better be starting him You better be starting him. And what's key and what is key in fantasy football? It's volume. It's volume, baby. Give me the volume. And Amari Cooper is going to get the volume. Who's the wide receiver two in Cleveland?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Is it Donovan Peoples-Jones? I mean, David Bell. I mean, that's Anthony the two. Right? That's the, I mean, so it's obvious that Amari Cooper is fixing to get the volume. This shown early chemistry with Brissett. And we all know how great Cooper's route running in and how good his route running is and how great his hands are. And man, like I said, at the end of the day, the fantasy volume is key. And you should not be sleeping on Amari Cooper just because Brissett's throwing him the ball, just because he's in Cleveland, just because you think they're going to suck. You should be in on Amari Cooper. And I think he is a super strong flex play for you this week. Maybe even, like I said, for me personally, he might be, you know, wide receiver three. But again, I have seen some people, you know, falling off the grid on him. And I'll just say this just to kind of, and this kind of reiterates what I said. I've done a few redrafts over the past few days, and I've been seeing him fall, man, like fall, yep. Fall, like wide receiver four, wide receiver five-ish, you know, in those rankings. And I'm like, I've drafted him two or three times just because I'm like, man, I can't let him go no more. Like, I got to take him. Yep. So he's actually – I say that to say he's actually in my flex spot in one of my redraft leagues for this week. So that's my strong slash sneaky flex play of the week.
Hey, man, I like it. I know for me, I've got him in the Dynasty League. I actually claimed the man off of waivers, dude, because I know that in a Dynasty League, after week 11, 12, whenever it is, that Deshaun Watson comes back to face the Houston Texans, that it is game over, man. And so for me, I'm the same way. I think that Coop eats this week. My thing is, man, I know that they're going to run that ball through Nick Chubb. They're playing, was it Carolina this week? And so for it, I know that they're going to feed Chubb. He's going to get some work. They're going to check it down to Kareem Hunt. But the thing about it is, with Amari Cooper's route running, like you iterated on, the thing about it, he's going to get open. And in PPR, that's all you need. I think that he is right in the same category as somebody like Jarvis Landry, who people are just overlooking this year, that I think is actually going to have a surprising year.
I agree.
And so, man, for me, I'm in on it. Now, this player here that I'm going to be talking about is facing the Patriots defense. The Patriots defense doesn't really scare me like it did a couple years back. But this running back, man, he's overlooked. And he's somebody that not a lot of people are talking about. I know the Fantasy Footballers podcast talks about him pretty good bit. But he's somebody that went like super duper late in a redraft league that I was in. He was actually drafted around Kareem Hunt. And so the sneaky flex play that I'm going with for week one is Chase Edmonds, running back for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, Mike McDaniel, ain't that the guy's name, that came into the Miami Dolphins offense this year? Mm-hmm. And so with it, he has always featured a running back. He is a great pass specialist. And for me, I think that Miami Dolphins offense as a whole takes a leap up. You have Tyreek come in. You have Jalen Waddle. You have Tua. Lord knows everybody wants Tua to take a freaking step up, man. Mm-hmm. But I think with it, the one position that we're overlooking in that offense is Chase Edmonds, the running back. Now, I know he's got competition with Raheem Mostert, but let's just be completely honest. After week one, Raheem Mostert's probably going to have a season-ending injury. We don't hope that on nobody, but that's the possibility. But yep. Chase Edmonds is one of those running backs that, man, he showed burst. He showed big play potential when he was in Arizona. And so I think for that, man, all signs are pointing that as a flex play, I don't want to like guarantee anything, but I think it's a high possibility the man scores at least 10 points in a PPR league. Yeah. And if you're telling me I can get 10 points out of my flex position almost guaranteed, then I'm all in. You know?
I like it. I agree with you. I think, you know, you talk about Mostert being his only competition and his main competition, maybe not his only, but his main. And you're exactly right. Mostert, I think, is 30 now, right? I know he's 30. Is he 30? He's maybe 31, but I know he's 30. And you're right. Maybe, we've seen it, right? We've seen it play out with Mostert. If he's healthy, he's great. He's fast. He's quick. He's, you know, he can hit the hole. He can take it to the house. But man, you know what he's going to do, and it may not be season injury, as you alluded to, but you know that hammy's going to pull up on him, and it's going to get tight, and he's going to be out. You know, he's going to be out 3-4 weeks, and then all of a sudden it's another week, and then he might play a week, and then he's out four more weeks. So, I'm in agreement with you, man. I think Chase Edmonds got some opportunity there. I think I don't know that he can be like the guy. I think he
I agree.
I think he has to have another person with him. But I think, you know, as long as that offense can stay on the field, and like you said, Tua take the step forward, and if we can keep that offense on the field, you know, I can see some good things from him. I can see some good, you know, some good PPR stuff, you know, maybe a score or two here or there. But, man, like you said, in those PPR leagues, all you got to do is be able to run some routes and get open, catch some balls, and you're going to score some points.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Tua, like I know he has videos of him throwing the deep ball and everything like that. The dude is a check down king. Yep. And so if Edmonds can get open, he's going to give him a couple of points there for sure.
I agree.
Sweet. Well, man, as far as that, we're coming to a close of the episode. I just want to say, man, I am so excited for week one. I know tomorrow night we have our homecoming parade at our local town. And so I'm excited to go knock that thing out real quick because my daughter's a class favorite in the parade. Knock that sucker out, come home, we just sit on the couch, watch a fantastic game with the Bills and the Rams. And then just, man, enjoy this week one of the NFL. And so with that being said, I want to take this time and just thank our listeners. Thank y'all for the support. Thank y'all for the listens that we get every single week. As the football season approaches, we're going to be having more of these on a weekly basis, doing some recaps, doing some players to watch as their dynasty value increases, as their dynasty value falls. And so with that being said, man, just stick with us. Plug us in. Let us listen to us ramble and rant for about 30, 45 minutes. And, man, y'all have a good NFL season. Steven, you got anything else to say, man?
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate all the listeners that listen. Thank you for letting me come on, man. This is fun. I think it's going to be, you know, as the season gets rolling, like I said at the beginning of the episode, man, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to do some more of these and kind of see what the season's bringing to us.
Absolutely, man. So good luck in y'all's fantasy endeavors. If y'all will, follow us over on Facebook at Legacy Legends of Dynasty Podcast and Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. We'll be sharing all of our episodes on there. And so y'all have a good week one.